It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Erica, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi, how you going?
I'm not too bad, thank you.
Sorry, a bit of a rush this morning, getting you in pretty early.
Oh, that's no problem at all.
All right. So just to start off, I want to talk about the domestic violence bill that's just gone through Parliament. So if you could tell me a little bit about why National has an issue with it.
Sure. It's actually been a really tough bill this week, and we didn't support the bill. The idea behind the bill is great. I think Jan Logie cares very much about domestic violence and reducing the number of domestic violence incidents in this country, as do we. And the idea behind the bill is good. I don't think we have a problem with that. When people are dealing with domestic violence, they need time off work. The issue for us, and the devil always, is in the detail of the bill. And the questions that we had around this bill were, are employers the right people to bear the brunt of this? That's the question. That's the first part of it. The second part of it is around how loose the bill is. It doesn't define domestic violence particularly well. It's very wide. It also doesn't put a time limit on when that domestic violence happened. And there's no sort of police report required or any sort of proof of anything. So it's a very much a, well, it could have happened last year. It could be just some emotional thing that happened, and you don't need to provide any proof of it. So we felt that really could have been tightened up a little bit more. So there's that part of it, but the other part of it is the question around whether or not we put the burden on small and medium businesses, because let's face it, they make up, what, about 95% of businesses in New Zealand. And we're talking about 10 days leave, and that's a lot. And not only are we talking about 10 days leave for the victims of domestic violence, we're actually talking about 10 days leave for their support people as well. So you start to get a picture of how wide and broad this bill is. And while its intentions are great, we don't think that it's been done in the right way. In fact, I was listening to some of the debates in the House last night, and we put up some alternatives, which were, look, if the government is serious about this, there's a better way to do it, and that they could put up a pool of money so that the employers aren't the one having to foot the bill for this, or you run it through ACC. So there are other options of getting the same result. We're just concerned that it's too broad, too loose, and it's really open for abuse, and it's just not the right way to do things by putting the burden on employers who aren't the ones. They're not the perpetrators. You know, let's remember the bad guys in all this. They're not the bad guys, and they're the ones who are often, you know, the businesses are on a knife edge. Costs are always, you know, things are always tight for them, and putting this extra burden on them, we just don't think is fair. We think there are better ways of getting the same outcome.
Mm. But there's already systems for, like, bereavement leave, sick leave. We have those systems in place so people are entitled to have time to cope with those kinds of issues that arise in their
yes.
life. Why is this particularly different for you guys?
Well, because in those instances, like, for example, sick leave, what do you have to provide? A medical certificate.
After 3 days, yes.
Yeah. And with domestic, with this bill, there is no proof required, and there is no very strict definition of what you're going through. It's so broad. It could be financial, emotional, physical. I mean, it could be anything, really. So that's the problem that we have. And it's 10 days as well. I mean, that's a lot more than anything else. And you've got your support partner as well getting 10 days. So you don't get that anywhere else. In fact, one of the amendments that we actually put up for this bill, which I thought was a really sensible amendment brought by Mark Mitchell, was to include in your regular leave, your sick leave and your other leave, the right to take it for domestic violence purposes. So that was a good compromise that wasn't agreed to. So, like I say, that the idea of it is fine. It's just the way that it's been approached in this bill. It's just too loose, too many days, and you're putting the burden on the employer, and as you mentioned, they already give a lot of leave for other reasons, and we are just putting more burden onto them, which we just don't think is fair. I mean, look, if the government is serious about this, stump up with the cash and fund it yourself.
But I think the problem about saying, oh, just apply this as annual leave or sick leave, what about for cases in which this employer employee may have run out of sick leave or run out of annual leave, and they're in a situation where they need that kind of support?
You're absolutely right. And as I said earlier, there is probably a good case for it, and I don't disagree that we shouldn't be potentially giving these people extra leave. I just don't think that putting the burden on the employer is the way to do it. Run it through ACC or have the government fund it. There are other ways of getting the same outcomes, but just not by putting employers under so much more stress. I mean, you've got to feel sorry for these guys. They're already under intense pressure with rising wages and the changes that are coming with the workplace relations stuff. It's a huge amount of stress on them, and this is just even more. And I just don't think that the balance is struck in this bill.
Mm. So how would National really go about having people have that time and space to safely exit potentially a dangerous situation when it comes to domestic violence? Because that's really... a very problematic time when people are leaving domestic violence situations. Like, that's the highest likely chance.
There's a number of ways. I think you could attack it in a few different ways. The first way is to allow them to take that leave in their regular leave. And as you rightly pointed out, they may run out of that leave. Then give them extra leave, but just don't expect the employers to fund it. I think that there is a perfectly good argument to be made that if we're serious about this, then it could be funded by the government or run through ACC. Judith Collins made a really good speech in the House on this yesterday about running it through ACC rather than having the burden put on the employers. So, like I said, there are other options to get that same outcome. We don't disagree that they shouldn't have extra leave. That's not really the question. The question is, who bears the burden of that leave? And is it fair that we potentially, because you may very well have a person who's experiencing domestic violence, and their support person is someone that they work with, and you've got both of these people taking 10 days leave. So it's a big burden on business, and I just think that there are other ways that we could be doing this.
I see. My producer has just brought up a statistic with me. We just had an interview with someone on an organization, but our previous interview with Holly stated the financial cost is far greater if victims are unable to be off leave. In some situations, employees have to leave their jobs or be unable to be effective in the workplace. And she also said statistics of the uptake of that leave in Australia, something like 0.3%. So there's obviously problems in not having these avenues in terms of the employer as well.
Yeah, but again, the argument is, why should the employer bear that cost?
But the employer is potentially having to bear that cost in an employee leaving because of that situation.
Our argument is, what's stopping the government funding this? If it is such a small amount, why put that cost back on businesses who are already struggling? That's the key issue. Mm. And also, I mean, like I say, the issues around the time limits and the definition of and the lack of proof, making it so wide as well. There is an argument to be made for having somebody else bear the brunt of this cost. And I don't disagree that, you know, if you've got someone who's experiencing domestic violence, it is going to cause more cost on that business in the long run because they may well leave and have to train someone else up. But the initial question is, who bears the brunt of that leave? And there is a very good case to be made for the government or running it through ACC. Mm.
Next thing we're going to talk about is the axing of health targets. So the headline from Stuff a few days ago was, axing of health targets will lead to death, says National. What are the kind of comments you have on that?
It was really surprising, actually. It sort of came out of the blue. It's not something that we expected. I mean, I think the first thing to note is that these were targets that were put in place by the previous Labor government. We tweaked them a little bit in our term. We added some and we refined them. It wasn't a decision that this minister took to cabinet, so it's something that he's just decided on his own. And we're seeing this quite a bit with different ministers just making decisions without following the proper process. So it's interesting from a perspective that it's something that they set up. That is actually working really well. So one of those targets is the emergency department wait times, and that's had incredibly good results. 700 lives a year are saved because people aren't waiting in emergency departments for as long as they used to. So that's, I mean, that's an incredible achievement. So I think that the minister is under huge pressure in his portfolio. We've got skyrocketing medical technology costs. You've got an ageing population. He's got huge wage pressures from these raised expectations. And I think he's probably feeling the pressure a bit. And look, the potentially why he's dropped these is, I mean, I gave a speech in the House about this, is that, you know, it's all very well to pump money in one end, but you have to be able to measure what you're getting for your dollar. And they seem to be shying away from this. And it's a trend. It's not just in health. You've also got the better public service targets that were scrapped as well. So a couple of those, for an example, were reducing the number of long-term welfare dependents, reducing hospitalisations for children who have preventable conditions. So those have been dropped as well. And just recently, like in the last 2 days, they dropped two police targets. So one was 98% of burglaries to be attended within 48 hours, and the other one was 95% of New Zealanders living within 25 kilometres of a police station. So this isn't an isolated event. You're seeing this across ministries where they are dropping targets. And look, if you're cynical, you'd say, well, you know, if you don't want to be measured and found wanting, then you drop targets. And potentially that's why this has happened. That's what I would say. But you know, it's hard for us to know because he hasn't replaced them with anything. So we have to wait and see.
I think what I've seen in amongst the conversation is that a lot of these health-specific targets are typically the duty of nurses to conduct. And with the nurses' strikes coming about, it's kind of the question of whether that workload should be bared by a workforce that is already feeling overloaded, undervalued. I kind of have to wonder, with this in mind, is it possible at the moment that these targets aren't tangible for our healthcare system?
Well, targets are vital. If you don't have targets, you can't get better, you can't improve, and you've got no accountability. So, I mean, if you look at the health targets, there's the emergency department wait times, which I mentioned, there's immunisation rates, there's smoking, cancer treatment, elective surgeries, so it's quite broad, and it gives us a good snapshot of where we're at and what value we're getting for the money we're shoveling in one end. You know, are we getting good outcomes? I mean, this is a government who seems to like, in one instance, targets, because you've got Jacinda Ardern with her child poverty targets, but then that's all about inputs, because it's easy to say, well, I've just shoveled off, you know, a whole lot of money to Working for Families, and therefore problem solved with child poverty. But the question is, what's happening to the outcomes? Are their lives better? Are these kids getting out of long-term welfare-dependent households? Are they not going to hospital in great numbers for preventable conditions? Are they immunised? You know, are their parents stopping smoking? Are they getting elective surgeries? Those are the measurables. Those are the important things. And this government are just dropping them really fast across all ministries.
But if we just take a moment to focus on health, like, is it tangible is more so what I'm trying to get at. Is this overworked, understaffed profession that is having to take time away from focusing on the care of patients already at the hospital, having to add a layer of meeting those targets, is that really tangible when we already have a workforce talking about striking?
Well, you're giving a one or the other sort of argument. I mean, you can have both. You can have targets, and you can you know, have a workforce that are valued and paid well. And that's something that the minister has to work through. I mean, the problem for him is that this government came in and raised expectations beyond belief in terms of, well, you know, potentially what the nurses were going to be paid, which is why I think we saw them turn down the first offer, and now we're seeing strikes. But the question isn't one or the other. He needs to manage through both of these. You can't just drop targets because, in his words, that, you know, you've got perverse outcomes. You can have both, and that's his job. He has to manage the expectations of the nurses and make sure that they've got a fair pay offer. And he has to have good standards as well. There's no question that you just get rid of standards because, oh, you know, people might be overworked. That's his job. He needs to manage through that.
Perfect. That was all my questions. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Hey, no trouble. Please. Okay.
You have a nice day. Bye.
Bye.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire.